part, the extreme western portion of St. Charles County. They don't go quite that far. About 90-95% of St. Charles County, all of St. Louis County, and sorry, Illinois, not yet. 71 years, what a reputation. And everything you want in a heating and cooling company, and I'll tell you exactly what you want. You want somebody coming to your house who knows how to work on the equipment you have, who's up to speed, trained on that particular heating and cooling unit. You want somebody who's courteous, who is aware of the fact that they're in someone else's home, and they act like it and treat it the way they treat their own home. And you want competitive pricing. You don't expect it for free. It's not a charity. But you don't want to find out that, one, you paid too much for the service, or that you paid for something you didn't really need. It's exactly what's going to happen with Matheny. You're going to get what you need and nothing more, and the price is going to be fair, and the people are going to be courteous, and you'll never need to think of calling anybody else again. Matheny Heating and Cooling. 71 years they've been doing what they do so well. MatheneyHeatingAndCooling.com.
It's the Big 550 KTRS, the large morning show in the afternoon. Frank and the gang are off on vacation in Mexico. I'm Paul Harris. Having a vacation here in St. Louis, 63 degrees? Yeah, not horrible, although Tim just told me he can't believe the number of accidents on the roads, and I told him my theory is people are still driving like the roads are slippery.
Yeah. So
that's screwing everything up. We're not used to you know what? Missourians are not used to driving in this weather, Tim, when
no.
It's 63 degrees.
Yeah, right.
For a while. And nice outside. Ah, people are freaking out. Last hour we were talking about a couple of different things, and Tim said he had a comment about something I was talking about last week on this show about phones, because I talked about how this technology that Apple has built into the iPhone and into the MacBook called FaceTime, and it's on the iPad as well, has made it possible for me to stay in touch with my daughter, who is spending the semester in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And normally when you have somebody overseas that you want to stay in touch with, you either have to pay a very expensive phone bill, or you got to work out something through Skype. And thanks to this FaceTime technology, I can call her anytime from my phone. And if she's in Wi-Fi down there, she doesn't have to worry about a data plan or anything. And then this reminded Tim of something incredibly low tech that he used to do when he was a younger man here in St. Louis.
Kind of low tech and maybe look at it kind of like low life.
What was it?
It was interesting. I remember as about 13 or 14
and
years
old. Let me just stop you right now. Don't say the phone number.
Because, oh, yeah, that's right.
Because we
that's
checked
right.
and found
that's
it's
right.
a real phone number now.
So there was one time we, I guess, called the wrong number and got the recording. You know, it's a little bump, bump, bump. I'm sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service or yeah. whatever. And if you listen to that, it's a loop. It's like it's a recording that keeps playing. But there's yeah. about a 5 or 10 second gap in between there. And one day I stayed on to listen, and I heard other voices on the other end. And so when the recording went back around and then it was silence, I said, hello. They said, hello, who are you? And then more people got in. I always called this.
This was not the person you were calling.
No, not at all. This was somehow other people could get in on this. So I don't remember how I stumbled upon it, but I was given the example how you watch people when they want to get a hold of the operator and they just click the receiver a whole bunch. Operator, operator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you just took that receiver and barely clicked it down and back up, it would go into a silence. And it opened up into this, what I call the original chat room. And other people, instead of having this recording, it was silence, and there it was just like a tunnel of all sorts of people in there. And
payphone purgatory.
It wasn't even payphone though. It was
from your home phone.
On your home phone, and you didn't have to dial. You just picked up the receiver and clicked it.
You enter the silent abyss.
You're right,
but it wasn't silent because there were people there, right?
Right, there were people there, and I was telling Paul, it's kind of like Pavlov's dog. You know, you get rewarded, and you do it again. Well, you heard, you know, 14 years old, and you hear a nice sounding girl on the other end. So you're hey, so you're always going to this thing.
And now, I'm just going to ask if any of our listeners had this experience.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious.
And know what you're talking about. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone *KTRS. I will warn you, there will be a weird voice at the other end of your phone. That'll be Tim.
That's right.
He'll be answering the phones here in a moment.
There's probably, you know, and I wasn't a geek or anything like that. I just stumbled across this, and then we told the neighbor kids about it, and then there was a bowling alley up the street, and that's where you'd say, hey, do you live in the area? And they'd say, yeah, we live here. Hey, do you go to Kinetics Bowling Alley? And which is no longer there, so you'd meet friends, and it was interesting. And then they put I guess they found out people were doing it and you couldn't get in there anymore. It was a recording.
How long did that go on for?
I'd say it went on for several months, you know, and word just got around, and it was very
the original chat room.
I call it the original chat room. You know, you had, it wasn't just one or two people on there. There could be 10, 12. And I told Paul, my mom and dad bought me a small cassette recorder, and it had a wiretap to it. And I can remember.
Well, that by wiretap, you mean it had a little suction cup that you put on the edge of the phone.
Right.
And it had a wire that you could plug into the microphone input on your cassette recorder.
Right. And you could, and you recorded, you know, oh boy, look at the phones light up here. All right. Let me get the answer to these things.
Okay.
Good. I think we got an answer.
All right. Good. I love the last part of it, the little suction cup recorder that he made tapes of it, tapes that you probably have never gone back to, but he's got this wiretapping thing going on in his own house from this mysterious Twilight Zone-like phone thing. I had never heard of this, and nobody I know has ever mentioned that this was part of their history. So this may be one of those secret St. Louis underground things that, you know, only a certain number of people were aware of. So let me just go to the phones here. Hi, who's this? Uh-oh, I think I just entered that hell. Right there. Right there. We're waiting for the chat room to pick up. Hello, who's this?
Oh, hi. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen. Do you know what Tim's talking about?
Yes. I think. We used to call it, if it's the same thing that you guys are talking about, party line.
But it wasn't officially a party line where you would pick it up and you'd share a phone line with other people, right?
No, this was not a party line. This was an accidental. It was like one of those glitches that
you would call and get a wrong number and then use that as almost a portal to your little chat
That's
room,
exactly
right?
What it was. You're right.
Well, I just remember, I'm not sure how we accessed, and I think it was a specific number you had to dial, but you never knew who all would be on there, and you'd be talking to various different people. We used to call it party line. I remember it being a teenager, and it was kind of crazy.
Well, maybe that is the same thing. Tim actually did tell us what the phone number was, and I called it during the commercial break, and it's now a business, and it's a business we don't want to have a problem with.
Yeah.
So we're not going to say the phone number on the air. But,
right.
But Tim, you did say it was a specific phone number that you would call, right?
Yeah.
I remember, to the best of my memory, it was a number you would call, and then it was just like airspace, and then.
And then would your friends be on there, and you would talk to them, or you might have been talking to a pervert Tim over here. You didn't go to the bowling alley, did you, Karen?
No, I don't. Well, not that I'm aware of, but it just seems from my recollection, they were just random people that you really didn't know, but it was more like a teenage thing.
Yeah.
Like I was probably 13, 14, 15 at the time.
Yeah,
so.
That's what he was talking about, but just about the same age. I'm glad you called our number, Karen. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Have a good day. Mike, you're on the Big 550. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Like what the lady said, I remember dialing in.
Yeah.
And I was about 16, 17 years old, but the same thing. You would never know who was on that phone at the other end, and there was a loop, but seemed to me I remember you could talk over that.
I never did it, so I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to recreate for you now what I think every conversation sounded like. Went like this. Who's this? No, who's this? Who's that? What are you doing?
Right.
Where are you? What are you doing? I'm not doing anything. What are you doing? I'm not doing anything. Who else is on here?
Yep.
I don't know. Let's see. Are you on there, Jim? Are you in there, Mike? That was every conversation. And after about how long would you be able to stay on there?
I don't remember there being a time limit. So it seems to me there were times that, you know, when the parents weren't home, you could talk on there for a half hour or so talking to different people.
And were you having actual conversations about anything, or were there just too many people on there?
Sometimes there was way too many people, and other times you could actually have actual conversations, and then you could find out that, hey, some of these people weren't too far, so you could meet, like I did down south, so you could meet, you know, somewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, and then like he said, it seemed like it went away after a short period of time.
And were you like Tim, if a female voice appeared on the line, that was the most exciting part of your night?
Oh yeah, why would I want to talk to a guy?
Hey, there's girls on here now!
That's what it was all about, buddy.
Mike, I'm glad you called. Thanks.
Hey, y'all have a good day.
Thanks. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone *KTRS. Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
I don't know that I have anything to add to what the Karen and the next guy.
No, but you're a female voice on the line, so Tim's all excited.
Well, I don't remember how we accessed this, but I was a teenager. It had to be the, you know, early 70s.
That's exactly that's
what
it was. And
it was just open air. I don't remember. Well, it was just like layers of conversations, and sometimes there would be conversations that were close enough to you that you could hear and converse with someone. But a lot of times there was just way too many people on it. But it was like an open chat room.
It's exactly what
phone.
It was. That's funny.
Because I remember in the early days of online chat rooms, the conversations there were exactly like the one I was just recreating for you here.
Right.
What are you doing? Nothing.
Yes.
What are you doing? Nothing. How about you? Nothing. Have you heard from anybody else? No. Are there any girls here? I haven't seen any.
It was, there was a lot of that. But so much of it was like incoherent because it was just gobs of voices.
Did you ever hook up with anybody?
No. No, really. I didn't. I only found it a couple of times.
Yeah.
So.
Did you notice when it was, you know, when we first found out about it, then you always knew if you were off of school, or if you got home early from school, you got on it, there'd be nobody there. And then you'd notice around 3:30, 3:45, 4:00, then people start clicking in. That was, you got home from school, you went to the line, and you called. I'm so glad other people
and
remember
would you
this.
Stay on this thing for hours, Tim?
Well, no, probably till mom came home or, you know, because it didn't go on your phone bill or anything like
that.
He
was on it more than I was.
Yeah, that's true.
You know why? That's because you weren't on it, Denise. He was waiting for you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
You know, in the 21st century, a smart business person would hear about this and monetize it somehow. I don't know how, because I'm not a smart business person. But I think pretty much that's how the internet started,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Right there. Yeah, those guys looking for, are there any chicks here? No? Well, let's put something together where there might be chicks. That's how you develop the internet. Speaking of men and women and bizarre stuff. This is the most bizarre story I've seen this week. This is the sort of story I would normally include in Knuckleheads in the News, which I do in the 5 o'clock hour. But this one deserves a little bit of a spotlight of its own. This is a story of a woman by the name of Tors Reynolds. I'm guessing it's short for Victoria. Tors Reynolds. She's 26 years old, and she was dating a guy named Stuart May, whose nickname was Chopper. And Tors thought Chopper was the perfect boyfriend, and so she got the words Chopper's bitch tattooed on her arm a year into their relationship. She said she did it as a surprise, and he was really proud of it. The inking was on her forearm, so when she lifted up her beer glass, all his friends could see it and be amazed. Now, this takes place in the UK. When she moved to London late last year, Chopper suddenly became distant and stopped answering her calls and messages, and when she finally got through to him, Chopper claimed he had gotten his dream job offer to do pipeline work in Alaska and had been dreading giving her the news. And so they had a tearful separation over the phone, like on your party line, and they promised to meet up again if he ever came back from Alaska. She even drove him to the airport so that he could begin his adventure in Alaska on the pipeline there. But a few days later, some of their mutual friends said, where's Chopper? And she said, oh, he's in Alaska. And they said, no, he can't be in Alaska. I just saw him last night. He was actually still in his hometown of Tiptree, England. And he was there living with another woman and had been for over 6 months. And so at this point, Tors, the girlfriend, was obviously a little bit upset. And she had this tattoo that said, Chopper's bitch, on her arm. So she took a scalpel to her arm and removed the tattoo.
Oh, God. This took an ugly turn, Paul.
She said it took an hour and a half to carefully slice the skin from her arm, and then she used a pair of dissection tweezers to peel the skin back.
Oh!
Afterwards, the remnants of the tattoo were put in a jar, wrapped up with a bow, and she sent it to Chopper via registered mail so she could track it online and make sure that he got it. She said, quote, I packaged it up so it really did look like a present. I even used different handwriting so he'd have no idea it was from me. I can't imagine what his reaction was. I wish I could have been there to see it. By the way, she did this skin removal surgery with no anesthetic. She said she made a rectangular incision around the tattoo, used the tweezers to pull back the corners.
Oh, God.
She says, quote, I don't like pain, but the skin coming off was actually quite relaxing. It was the after pain that hurt the most. It felt like a nasty stinging sensation. Putting on clothes was a really difficult task after that. And she says, at the end of the day, it's only skin, and it'll grow back. Oh. Well, I guess the laser tattoo removal would have been a lot more expensive than the get a scalpel and some tweezers and cut them off yourself.
Seems a bit beneath a classy lady like that.
Yes. Tours and Chopper. It's 429. Joe Hipperson's got New Release Tuesday coming up in just a few minutes here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
First, let's check those roads. Tim.
All right. Westbound 44 past Lindbergh. They're still working with an accident. The left lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up approaching Berry Road. Eastbound 270, still working that crash at 367 with the left lane blocked. Traffic is a solid jam from New Florissant all the way out through 367. A new accident now on westbound 70 past Wentzville Parkway has the left lane blocked. They've cleared the accident eastbound 70 before Grand. Now you've got slow traffic from Grand to the Museo Bridge and then westbound 44 all the way to the Poplar Street Bridge. And it looks like we're running pretty slow on southbound 270 now between Highway 40 all the way through Highway 50. A couple little stop-and-go pockets in between there. This traffic report brought to you by Chevrolet. It's Chevy President's Day. Stop into your local Chevy dealer to check out favorites like the 2014 Silverado, Cruze, Malibu, or Equinox, and take advantage of President's Day cash today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
France, 1793. While Augustin Dupré was awaiting execution by guillotine, he took from his pocket a prized possession, an angel coin. He rubbed it for good luck and said a prayer. At that very moment, a sudden lightning storm frightened the crowd and the execution was postponed. Dupré was later pardoned and attributed his miraculous survival to the angel coin. For centuries, angel coins have been the center of countless good luck stories. And now good luck is yours. In a world first, Govmint.com is releasing magnificent 1 ounce pure silver angel coins at an historic low and surprisingly affordable price. These dazzling silver angel coins are only available on a first-come, first-served basis, so call immediately. 1-800-600-0438. These 2014 angels are legal tender and 1 ounce of pure silver. Minted in London, England, they magnificently depict St. Michael slaying a fire-breathing dragon with Queen Elizabeth on the reverse. Lock in your historic low price. 1-800-600-0438. 1-800-600-0438.
Altair Traveling Cruises and KTRS has teamed up once again for a summer blockbuster trip. Have you ever been to Alaska? Want to join us on our trip to Alaska? We're going to leave July 5th from St. Louis, fly to Seattle, and then we're going to get on Holland America's Alaskan Cruise. Ports, Skagway, Ketchikan, Juneau, Sitka. We're also going to be able to check out Glacier Bay. Altair Traveling Cruises and KTRS are teaming up once again, and you are officially invited. You want to see America's last great frontier? Do it in style and do it with a bunch of St. Louisans. July 5th, leave from St. Louis, round trip to Seattle, and cruise, the Inside Passage, courtesy of Holland America and Altair Travel and Cruises. If you join us now and save big. The sooner you're in, the more savings you get. For more information, altairtravel.com or 314-968-9600. July 5th, Altair Travel and KTRS round trip to Alaska. Join us.
The latest Wall Street Journal NBC poll says that Americans have concerns about our economic future. As a retiree or near retiree, these are not words that you want to hear. It's more important than ever to have a financial advisor who is as committed to your success as you are. I'm Ken Heise. Call us now at 314-909-1116 and ask about the Heise Advisory Group no obligation consultation. The financial world can change fast and have a lasting impact on your future. We take our responsibility seriously and do everything we can to protect our clients from surprises in the market. Call us and we'll do our best to prepare you from whatever the world brings. The number to call is 314-909-1116. We might feel like we don't have control over Washington, but we can take control over our financial future. So call me now at 314-909-1116. That's 314-909-1116. At Heise Advisory Group, you'll get a simple path toward financial security.
Ken Heise is an investment advisor representative. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Lori Heise is a licensed insurance representative.
It's the ultimate girls' day out all weekend long. The Missouri Lottery presents a 27th annual Working Women's Survival Show Friday, February 21st through Sunday, February 23rd. Hundreds of fitness, fashion, food, and fun exhibitors. Things really get cooking with amateur chefs competing for the Inspired Chef, sponsored by Missouri Pork Association. The Wine Garden will be sampling and selling wine, and February is back. The St. Louis Working Women's Survival Show, February 21st through the 23rd, St. Charles Convention Center. Tickets at Deerberg's locations or at WWSSonline.com.
Do you have opioid-induced constipation? MedX Healthcare Research is conducting a research study for people with constipation caused by a strong pain medication such as an opiate or narcotic. All qualified participants in the study will receive the study medication, plus all study-related care and procedures at no cost. Compensation for participation may be available. If you have constipation caused by pain medication and are interested in learning more about this study, please call 866-713-5355. That number again is 866-713-5355 or visit us online at MedXHealth.net.
Suffering from allergy congestion?
On my nature walks, I couldn't smell the flowers or breathe in the fresh spring air. Then I discovered Allegra D.
Allegra D decongests and depressurizes with a fast, non-drowsy antihistamine, plus a powerful decongestant for 24 hours of congestion-free breathing.
Now I don't just appreciate nature. I breathe it all in.
Allegra D. Stop suffering. Start breathing.
Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
Hi there, Trank Opinion, or should I say hola, since right this very minute I'm actually in Mexico. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to rub it in. I have some big news from First Community Credit Union. Yet another branch has opened in Richmond Heights. It's on South Brentwood, directly across from the Galleria, called, appropriately enough, their Galleria branch. And you are welcome to go in there, you folks in the Richmond Heights area, and become members of First Community Credit Union, which I have been for years now, and you're going to be so glad you did. So once again, yet another branch, which tells you and me things are great at First Community Credit Union. Things are so good, they keep opening branches because people like stability, and they like security, and they like great service, and they like competitive rates. That's why they like First Community Credit Union. So now you have yet another place to do your banking. Although for most of us, certainly most of you, I actually go in fairly often. Most people do most of it online anyway, and they have an easy-to-navigate website. So they continue to do well and get bigger and are the largest credit union in the St. Louis area, First Community Credit Union. Don't confuse it with any other. If you'd like to know more, visit their website, firstcommunity.com.
It's the Big 550 KTRS, the large morning show in the afternoon, vacation edition. That's what we're going to call it all week long because Dan and Ian and Frank are all on vacation with over 100 large morning show in the afternoon listeners in Cabo San Lucas in Mexico. And what day is it they're going over to Sammy Hagar's to hang out? I think it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Dan Strauss keeps taunting us by posting pictures of the sunrise and the sunset and telling us it's 85 degrees there. To which I respond, okay, well, 63 here. We're not freezing.
I don't mind it.
If it were a week ago, we all would have been really, really jealous. Today, with the weather like this, we're actually rolling down a window in the car.
Yeah, to you I say, meh, large morning show in the afternoon.
Normally, at this point, we would go to Joe Hipperson for a new release Tuesday, but he's tied up with something, and we've rescheduled him for a new release Wednesday tomorrow. A new feature of the vacation edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon tomorrow will be a new release Wednesday. Still to come, Bill Clevelin and the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads in the News and some Hollywood gossip stuff with Kate Meehan filling in for Mike Evans later on. Since we can't do new release Tuesday, I will tell you that I finished watching season 2 of House of Cards last night. It came out on Friday. I didn't watch any on Friday, but I watched 5 episodes on Saturday and 5 episodes on Sunday, and last night I watched the final 3, and I'm not going to spoil anything, although you will not believe what happens to Walter White at the end of the show. That's my double House of Cards Breaking Bad spoiler. Turns out that Walter White is Kaiser Soze. I hope that doesn't ruin it for anybody.
No, wait a minute. Oh. Wait a minute. Now you brought the usual suspects in.
What else do I have on my desktop here? Oh, the video of the day. I forgot to post this online earlier today. You can Google it yourself. You know, when you go to sporting events, they always have a kiss cam where the camera goes around.
Oh, I saw that. It's
catches
classic.
People. There's a video that's gone viral today from a University of Minnesota Gophers home game. And the kiss cam focuses in on a guy who's sitting there next to a very attractive blonde woman. And normally when the kiss cam focuses on you for a couple of seconds, you're supposed to kiss the person you're with. And this guy's not doing it. And the crowd's going, come on, come on, come on, come on. He reaches into his pocket of his jacket, the inside pocket, and he pulls out a piece of paper and he unfolds it and faces it to the camera. And it says, she's my sister, with an arrow pointing to her.
And the thing is, she's completely clueless looking to the kiss cam thing is even going on.
Yeah,
she's kind of like,
doesn't know it all.
That's good.
It's perfect. So you can Google that, kiss cam, Minnesota Gophers, and look at it yourself. Speaking of kissing, et cetera, at the Olympics this year, the International Olympic Committee handed out 100,000 free condoms to the athletes. There are 7,200 athletes there.
Wow.
According to my math, that means each one of them got 15 condoms. Okay, that's 2 weeks. Now, I know we're talking about people who are in perfect shape.
Right.
You know, sculpted bodies galore from all over the country. But you might think to yourself, 100,000. That's all. They can't possibly use those.
Yeah, at 15 per person, that's, you know, I mean, and then
I will tell you this. The reason the number is 100,000 now is because in 2000, when the games were in Sydney, and those were the summer games, so they're not wearing that much more, the beach volleyball teams alone would have taken care of that. In Sydney, they handed out 75,000. They ran out the first week.
Oh, my gosh. I really chose the wrong line of work.
No wonder they want to be an Olympian.
They are in week number 2, and I don't know if they're going to run out this year. Speaking of condoms, there's a businesswoman in Kenya, in Africa, who has opened up a condom delivery service because she thinks people are too shy to buy them in stores. She says the condoms, which sell 3 for $3.50, are delivered by motorcycle in the capital city of Nairobi to help get around the notorious traffic jams and get the condoms there as quickly as possible. She said about 4,000 clients, both men and women, have used the service, which employs about 15 people. They even have 2 limousines that are decorated with red flowers that made special deliveries to couples last Friday for Valentine's Day.
Sweet.
You're supposed to be able to get free condoms there in public restrooms and at health clinics and hospitals. Free condoms in public restrooms? Not sure I would trust those. But they say that supplies often run out there. And so now you can call up ahead of time. And or I guess it doesn't have to be ahead of time. Could be in the midst of things.
Can you tell them put a rush on it?
Well, you know, I might have been in a situation once where a delivery would have been nice.
Yeah. We're out.
Yeah. But I lived across the street from Walgreens.
Then you were taken care of there. Speaking of deliveries, remember that Amazon thing on 60 Minutes last fall where Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, showed off what he hoped to do in a few years with Amazon drones?
Yes.
Where the drone would pick up a package of up to 5 pounds and it would be able to deliver to you locally from the Amazon warehouse if you lived close enough in major cities. And I think St. Louis would probably qualify because we have an Amazon warehouse right here in our town. Then the drones would pick up the package and deliver it to you and somehow navigate its way through trees and wires and
traffic, helicopters and airplanes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be up at the height that you're normally flying, Tim. But, you know, 400 or 500 feet over the ground and then come down and drop your package. Well, turns out that U.S. law doesn't permit anything like that. In fact, I had a story on Knuckleheads in the News a couple of weeks ago about a guy in Wisconsin who had set up a beer delivery drone system for ice fishermen. He would have the drones take it to their little ice huts out in the middle of a frozen lake and deliver a six-pack to them.
Really?
Yeah. But the FAA shut him down. Well, now there's a story out of the United Arab Emirates that the government there is processing, in the process of testing a fleet of small, unpiloted flying drones designed to get things like driver's licenses and ID cards to citizens. According to a report from Dubai, the plan is aimed at upgrading government services. The plan there is to make sure that there's less red tape when you need something from the government. So these quadcopters, that's a small thing with four rotors on it, would be pre-programmed with your delivery coordinates and would fly without human piloting. Early peaks of the drones reveal that they're similar to a lot of the commercially available quadcopter drones that are on the market now. The difference would be these would have the official seal of the government on their body. So you would know the government is coming to get me or the government is dropping something off for me. They say future versions of these models will come equipped with built-in eye and fingerprint scanners to help protect their precious government cargo. And then there was a story that a listener sent me today that I think it was the Minnesota Twins at spring training now in either Florida or Arizona, they are using a drone, a quadcopter drone, to fly above spring training to give them an aerial view of what's going on.
No
on the
kidding.
Field.
Have you seen some of the footage from those things, Paul, that people have like filmed like with a quadcopter or with something?
I've seen local news stations that have done things with them, yes.
The footage is fantastic when you see it. But is this the new answer to everything? Let's get some drones to do it.
Yes.
That seems to be like we're just spitballing here. How about drones?
I wonder how much more information you're going to be able to get about a baseball team from above. I mean, I could see in a football game, we know from that thing that's hanging, that camera that's on the cables on the field, that gives you kind of that video game angle.
Yeah.
So it's like you're playing Madden. I mean, that's where that idea first came from. And that's pretty good technology that's out there, and they can use that and move that all over the field. But in a football game, you've got so many complex things going on all the time, that extra camera angle really reveals much more about the game.
And seeing the plays unfold from the top down.
Yeah, because you're seeing it from the player's angle. I'm not sure that watching a baseball game from above is going to teach me all that much.
You know, and the other thing is this is at spring training, but if they would ever bring that to where, you know, I mean, like when we're in the airplane, if there's a baseball game from 6 o'clock on, we can't fly. We have to be outside of a 3-mile radius of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of aircraft does, unless they get special permission. So I wonder if that will be excluded or how they'll use that.
Well, I would not be surprised to find out that Fox or some other company that carries baseball is working on a deal right now to have a hovering camera over the field just for the angle. But again, I'm not sure how much more strategic information a manager or any of the coaches on the team are going to get from watching that baseball game from above, except to steal signals.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Fly it over another team's practice field, maybe.
It's always a devious thing behind it.
That's right. Speaking of flying, there was a story 2 weeks ago about a guy who used to work for the TSA who came out with a whole revelation about what the TSA people look at when you go through that high-tech scanner at the airport. It's called a backscatter scanner. The one that's not just the metal detector, the magnetometer, but the backscatter machine where you have to go in and you raise your arms over your head and it looks through your clothes to see what you've got under there. And, you know, the TSA promised us, well, we can't really see your genitals or anything like that. And the images aren't kept and our professionals are not going to be making fun of anybody. Well, this guy who used to work for the TSA said, of course we were in the back making fun of people. We're making fun of, we can see people's complete bodily form in there. And we would have code words. We would have, you know, if there's an attractive woman going through the line, we would send out a message by radio and everybody's attention would suddenly be on the screen. I mean, that sort of stuff. So he has started a blog where people are writing into him with TSA horror stories. And here's today's. It has nothing to do with that machine, but here's today's story from a guy by the name of Dan. Once when my wife and young son and I passed through security at LaGuardia, and I'm going to stop right there just to tell you, I've been through LaGuardia Airport a lot because I have family in the Northeast, and it's an easy airport to fly to on Southwest or American from here. They both fly nonstops. LaGuardia is the pit of all major city airports in America. It is just a horrible, horrible, horrible place to have to deal with.
Really?
Oh, just dirty, and everybody there is rude, and it's small, and everything just takes forever. So anyway, this guy was flying through security, he was going through security at LaGuardia with his wife and his son. And a TSA officer pulled a small jar of peanut butter from his wife's carry-on. And he says, the officer told us, we can't take that with us. She had packed it, figuring it wasn't a liquid. Because, you know, they have that rule about the 3.5-ounce liquids. So she'd packed that along with some saltines and a plastic knife, so that I would have something to eat on the flight, because I get sick if I go too long without food, and this was going to be a four-hour flight with no meal. Now, this was after we went through. They were going to take away our peanut butter. So, at the end of the conveyor belt, on top of my suitcase, I opened up the package of saltines, and I opened up the jar of peanut butter and the knife, and my wife and I made a bag full of peanut butter crackers. And that's how we eliminated the peanut butter security risk.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
The TSA saved the day again.
And then imagine you're the guy holding your shoes in that line behind there, and you're going, what's a holdup? Why is this couple making peanut butter crackers?
Did some idiot forget his laptop again? No, this man is making peanut butter crackers because the TSA won't let him take peanut butter on board the plane. And one more airport-related story. Well, this is actually a story about an airport. The rankings are out for the best airports in the world. And number one on the list, I guarantee you LaGuardia is not on there. And unfortunately, Lambert is not right on there anymore. I think that some of the upgrades they did after the hurricane at Lambert made it a little bit better. But it's still not a great airport.
No.
But the one that they have number one on this list seems a little bit over the top to me. It's called Changi Airport. It's in Singapore. Here's what the editor, travel editor of Business Insider, Jennifer Polland, says they have at Changi Airport in Singapore. It has high open ceilings and an airy feel and a vertical garden called the Green Wall. Okay.
Oh, nice.
All right. Nice. Nice to walk through. There's an outdoor rooftop pool that you can swim in for a $14 fee. Now, let's just stop right there. I don't know about you, but if I am going off to someplace where I'm going to need a swimsuit, it's packed in my luggage.
Yeah, not in your carry-on. Is that allowed in your carry-on, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't have peanut butter in the pocket.
Right.
That little pocket in the front. You know the one I'm talking about inside the swimsuit?
It's never big enough to fit your hotel room key either.
Exactly. I don't know what you're supposed to put in there. I guess you keep your $14 in there for the outdoor pool. The pool has a tiki bar and is adjacent to a fitness center. Now, I'll grant you, I have not flown internationally in a long, long time. And I don't know what it would be like to fly to Singapore or how long the layovers must be there. Normally, if I have a layover somewhere, it's 2, maybe 3 hours. But not enough that I would want to go someplace, get undressed, put on a swimsuit, and jump into a pool while waiting to get to my next flight.
Yeah, it does seem.
Or what about doing your cardio? You got your workout pants in there too, Paul?
No, I don't. No. The airport there also has high-end shops and a lot more affordable stores and bars and restaurants. And, of course, two movie theaters. A movie theater at the airport? Plus, for the kids, a four-story, 40-foot slide. Each terminal also has a transit hotel where you can rent a room for 6 hours for $76. I looked at the pictures online. It's not one of those Japanese test tube hotel rooms that's just 6 feet long by 3 feet wide, and you just lie down in it. Right. These are real hotel rooms.
Wow.
That's for people who want to try to fall asleep while airplanes are flying over your head. Remember, you're literally at the airport. But that's not all. You also get an enclosed butterfly garden and an outdoor nature trail with a rooftop sunflower garden, because the outdoor aroma at the airport is so wonderful.
Yeah. Burnt, I know, you, rubber and fuel.
I know you spend a lot of time at the airport.
Yeah, it's a lot of jet exhaust.
Yeah, that jet exhaust. Oh, honey, that is, look at the sunflowers here. I can't. My eyes are tearing from the jet exhaust. You do get free Wi-Fi and free charging stations, which we need more of at Lambert.
Yes.
That's one of the things that we need desperately here.
And my wife just got back and said the same thing. She goes, God, they need more out there.
How do you not have Wi-Fi?
I don't know. Major,
well, they do have it, but you have to pay for it.
Right.
They got that Boingo airport Wi-Fi that you have to pay for. That's ridiculous. Charge me an extra dollar for my ticket. Put Wi-Fi in there and put in some more plugs, too. Mm-hmm. Because you see people battling over that, particularly if there are flight delays and everybody's starting lining up down the hall.
In the hallway, posted up, keeping guard of their receptacle.
You can tell the people who are doing the roam from two gates over, I have to plug in my phone somewhere. Who's not using a plug? Then if you go into the bathroom there at this airport in Singapore, it has an electronic monitoring system where you can rate the cleanliness of the bathroom on a touch screen. If you're not happy with the service, you tap the frowny face on the touch screen monitor because you want to touch more stuff in the bathroom.
Oh, good point.
And then you touch the reason you're unsatisfied. No toilet paper or foul smell or faulty equipment or trash bin full or wet floor or dirty toilet bowl or, here's my favorite, toilet temperature. Toilet temperature?
I'm confused, Paul. You mean as if the toilet seat is too cold, or...
Shouldn't it just be room temperature all the time? The only thing that would change the temperature is the butt of the previous person who sat on it.
Yeah, you don't want to get a warm one.
but will you really go to the touchscreen and complain about that? And then what are they supposed to do about that? Let me just wash that off for you with some nice cold water, sir. What temperature would you like your butt to be while you take care of business? You know what? This is way too much talking for the men's room. way too much. Singapore's Changi Airport. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Tim is not flying this afternoon, but from the ground, he's looking at the roads.
Yeah, I'm following, looks like kind of a serious accident. It's on Highway 70 west of Wentzville, and it is affecting both directions with the left lane being blocked. If you're coming in eastbound, you're starting to stack up now from Forestell to just before Wentzville Parkway. If you're going westbound, it looks like Highway A is where the jam up starts. We do have an accident. It's on southbound 270 at Highway 44 at the exit ramp. Another accident northbound 170 at Scudder that had a left lane blocked. Traffic was starting to back up. Let's see. We've got southbound 270 slow between Olive and Doherty Ferry. It looks like we're running slow again from 44 in pockets all the way to Highway 55. Westbound 40, it's just the usual slowdowns between Hampton, McCausland, 270 Mason. It looks like we're pretty heavy as you're approaching the Boone Bridge. And then that stretch between Highway 94 through west of K. This traffic report is brought to you by Chevrolet. It's the Chevy President's Day. Stop into your local Chevy dealer to check out the favorites like the 2014 Silverado, Cruze, Malibu, or Equinox, and take advantage of President's Day cash today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Desk, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's time for the women to have their turn. Thursday night, the Mizzou women's basketball team heads south to Gainesville, Florida to take on the Gators. Coverage begins at 6:45 and the tip-off is at 7. Catch all the action right here on your home of the Missouri Tigers, the Big 550 KTRS. We are Mizzou.
Bertarelli Cutlery has been keeping St. Louis sharp since 1967 and is your one-stop shop for knife, scissor, lawn, and garden tool sharpening. If it's metal and you need it sharp, look no further than the professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery. For professional quality kitchen gear, such as Vitamix blenders, Lodge cast iron, Wusthof, and Global knives, head down to the Bertarelli Cutlery showroom located at 127 Marconi in the heart of the hill. They also carry great local St. Louis-made products, such as NHB knives. These knives are handmade in St. Louis and carried exclusively at Bertarelli Cutlery. They also have cutting boards made from locally sourced hardwoods, designed and produced by Martin Goebel of Goebel Furniture. So head to the Chef's Toy Store and see all the great items and deals to be found. Bertarelli Cutlery is located at 1927 Marconi in the heart of the hill. Call them at 314-664-4005 or visit them at BertarelliCutlery.com. Bertarelli Cutlery, keeping St. Louis sharp since 1967.
Local restaurant?
Yes, I am.
Search Kuna Foods' new dining website, BestRestaurantsInSt.Louis.com. Like them on Facebook. That's BestRestaurantsInSt.Louis.com.
Thanks.
Head to Firestone Complete Auto Care today and keep your car running newer longer. For maintenance, repairs, tires, for whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
For over 40 years, Metro Lighting has made a commitment of service to their customers and is proud to be locally owned and operated. Metro Lighting offers a one-year in-home product warranty on all lighting fixtures, lamps, and ceiling fans. So if something stops working, they'll repair it or replace it. Plus, Metro Lighting guarantees their prices against any competitor, including big box stores and the internet. Get the best selection on the highest quality lighting at the best price guaranteed at Metro Lighting. Visit MetroLightingCenters.com for the location nearest you.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Plevin segment starring Bill Plevin along with Bruce Limpris and the All Boy Orchestra. Brought to you by McLeod Cab, your AM in the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now, here's Bill Plevin.
Hello, Bill. I'm sorry to cut you short here today, but I've only got 30 seconds.
Wow, you know, I never thought I'd meet anybody like Frank O'Pinion always gives me like 90 seconds.
That's yeah. Kinda... That's because he's more of a pro than I am. Now you got 20 seconds.
Well, it's almost not even worth doing it. I don't know about you, Paul.
Do you want to hold off and do it after the news at the top of the hour? I know Frank does that to you all the time.
Yeah, I'll call back in a couple minutes.
All right. We'll catch up with you after the 5 o'clock news. And then also in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have the Harris Challenge and a new batch of knuckleheads in the news. And Kate Mahan will be here to talk about Jimmy Fallon's first night on The Tonight Show and some other Hollywood gossip kind of stuff. This is the Big 550 KTRS.